refreshing to the Northern Hemisphere, and especially the UK. And then just before I left, a lady within our congregation in Vista, Serena, she preached a sermon called Healing My Lukewarm Heart. And it was basically about her just walking away from God after her first child, being offended and not being at the place where she needed to be. And basically what happened, God spoke a word so vividly to her, and God told her also that He's going to bring times of refreshing. And that was the last sermon that we were in back in Vista. And I just knew this was something that God was doing. So as I came here, I just realized that God is wanting to do something within our hearts, times of refreshing. In other words, God's wanting to establish a blessing for each and every one of us that we didn't even work for. It just happens naturally. I really believe that what God's wanting to do. So here's the problem. We're living in a culture where everybody's trying to create their own refreshing themselves. You know, that's how it is. You got to look a certain way. You got to talk a certain way. There's certain things that you have just to keep yourself fresh and cool. In other words, refreshing for me speaks of, if you can just bear with me, refreshing just speaks of that place where God would touch anyone. God would touch anyone, and there will be just a change financially, a change materially, a change spiritually, a change emotionally. God can do that. Here's the thing. Only He can do it. You see, none of us would have known God if He didn't decide to reveal Himself to us. That's a big one for a lot of Christians. Nothing that we can do can make God reveal Himself to us. He decides. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. He said it Himself, Pharaoh, I'll harden your heart, and then I'll soften it, and then I'll harden it, and then I'll drown you. Scary, eh? But that's what He did. God's way of revealing Himself to us in terms of His sovereignty goes beyond what we can understand, think, feel. And in that way, God can refresh. And refreshing is something that I'm excited about at this stage, because I know the church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs this. Not a show, a refreshing from Christ. So let's just read the scripture. Acts chapter 3, verse 17 to 23. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they come into a temple. So there's a lame guy. So this guy says, look, I want money. So Pikes and Brother Jay says, look here, we don't have money. But what we do have, I can give you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. So now everybody sees this guy. And they like, wow, man, this guy is jumping and he's leaping for joy. He's dancing. He's running around within the temple. Everybody knows him. So now there's beautiful chaos because everybody is in awe. And then Peter says, look here, I don't know why you're so excited, but we didn't do it. We didn't do this. God did this. Jesus did it. And it's interesting because Peter told them, Jesus Christ, the Son of Nazareth, did it. That's Peter's exact words. Why was Peter so specific? Because Peter was wanting to tell them, that same guy that you killed a few months ago is him. Jesus of Nazareth is like, he's telling him, you know, Jesus, KT-12, 5RH, 2 Carly Crescent, that Jesus, he, the one you killed. And so he said that, and now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. You killed Jesus in ignorance. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. And there's it. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. Peter says, look here, the same guy you killed, that same guy is going to bring times of refreshing. That same guy. So Peter, it's quite a radical thing to say to these people. You killed him, but he healed this man. And so if you want times of refreshing, he can restore the kingdom to you. So times of refreshing comes from Christ, the God. It comes through quite a few ways. And so there's three things that this man, this layman, received. And what I know from Scripture, what Peter was talking about, times of refreshing. The first one is he received rejuvenation, new vigor. I mean, he was sitting there for how many years, and so now he's got new vigor. He can actually do a James Brown. Have you ever seen James Brown dance? Does anybody know who James Brown is? The guy that when he runs out of lyrics, he screams. He sings something, then he runs, ha! And then he screams. Now that's a James Brown lyric. It's meaningful to James. So then restore. Return to the original state. That is what a times of refreshing mean. Is our projecting fear and trembling or what? Rest. To find peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's what a time of refreshing mean. Now, I believe with all my heart that is what God is wanting to give us. I really believe it. It's becoming clearer to me. I have a better understanding of it. I understand now how God wants to do it. And I can understand why God wants to do it. I've looked through history. And I've looked at history. What did all our church fathers, not the guys in Scripture, but just the other preachers, what did they say about times of refreshing? Watch this. If you can go to the first one. Charles Finney said, a revival, a time of refreshing, is nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God. There's just this renewed thing in our hearts. I just want to do what God says I must do. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones from England, we can define revival as a period of unusual blessing and activity in the life of the Christian church. Revival means awakening, stimulating the life, bringing it to the surface again. There's like new life. It's like we're doing the same things, but just from a different angle. There's a different feel to it, you know. It's a different taste to it. The next one, Jonathan Edwards. Oh, if you have time, just read some of Jonathan Edwards' stuff. There's a lot of it on the internet for free. There's a sermon that he preached, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Just go listen to it. It takes a bit of time to get used to, but beautiful. Jonathan, revival is God's major means of extending his kingdom. Jay Packer, also from England. Revival is God touching minds and hearts in an arresting, devastating, exalting way to draw them to himself through working from the inside out rather than the outside in. You see what Dr. Jim says is revival starts within your heart, in your heart, in your heart, in your heart. It sounded funny. But my favorite one, revival is times of refreshing from the presence of God. That's my favorite definition. That when we recognize God and see Him in every one of our circumstances, there's something happening. Obviously, this morning, at the same time, I'm referring to a special outpouring of the Spirit that's so fresh, so arresting, and yet so devastating that I'm long for. So, just from what Peter said, Rory, just from what Peter said, in Scripture. No, he doesn't want to listen to me. He knows what he wants. At least we know that. There's mommy coming. There she coming. There he goes. So, for me, what I see in Scripture and what I see Peter's talking about, I want to talk about the characteristics of times of refreshing. Because I know it's coming. It's been happening to some of us. Things just fall into place and we didn't even work for it. We're like, God, how did this happen? Characteristic number one, there's a hunger after Jesus. If you can go to the first characteristic. There's an intense hunger for God. Whenever revival hits, people just have a supernatural hunger after God. It's just something that happens within their heart. They wake up like that in the morning. God, more of you. They go sleep like that. God, more of you. God, I can't do anything else except you. You see, the lame man asked for alms. Peter said, you're asking for the wrong things. I don't have money, but I can give you Christ. And you know what? We must speak death over our own sources of refreshment. We must speak death to it. We must just say, look here, you're not the source of my refreshment. The source of my refreshment is the presence of God. There must be a hunger. One of my favorite prayers at this stage is what I've discovered in a psalm. Psalms 85 verse 6. Just read this. This is so beautiful. An intense hunger. Will you not revive us again? That your people may rejoice in you? Will you not refresh us again, God, please? That's one of my prayers at this stage. I'm praying this a lot. Because refreshment cannot come from any other place than Christ. It cannot, it will not, it never will be. And so I'm praying this a lot. God, revive me. Please give me a hunger for you again. Place that hunger inside of me again. Because you can't perform a hunger. I can't perform a hunger. I'm either hungry for God or I'm not. And I have to say this to me regularly nowadays. Carlos, you have disciplines. You have your Bible reading time. But you've got to be open to what the Spirit says. And this is so beautiful for me. This hunger for Jesus. God, will you revive us? Revive me, God. Place that hunger inside of me to read your Scripture, to spend time with you. Keith Green just said something so beautiful. Keith Green says, you know, if you are bored and if you don't have time in your schedule to spend time with God, to sit with Him and talk with Him and just be with Him, then eternity is most probably not the place that you would want to be. He's right. If you don't want to do it here, if I don't want to do it here, why do I want to go to heaven? Because that's all that I am going to do there. That's why when it comes to church discipline, when Paul says excommunicate, what Paul is trying to convey is people must feel how it is to be outside of the presence of God. It's a bad place. It's a scary place. Jesus also says, take a brother, you go. If he doesn't want to listen, take a brother, tell it to the church. If he doesn't want to listen to the church, then there must be a place where he can come to repentance. But this hunger for God, pray with me, please, that it would happen to all of us and everyone around us. Now, when revival hits, people's going to start walking in because there's just going to be this hunger. I want to know who God is. The second thing Peter shows them, and so you might wonder, so how does Peter talk about the hunger? Peter just says, look here, it's about Jesus, the one you killed. That's the hunger that you need to have. The second thing is repentance. Christians and people in the book of Acts always, as Scripture would call it, they were cut to the heart. after a sermon, they were always cut to the heart, repenting. This is the problem today. Proud people don't have anything to repent of. That's it. During revivals, people repent of their sins. They are confronted by it and they forsake it. It's just a supernatural thing that happens. People out in the street, people in their homes, the supernatural say, God, we are sinners. You see, culture today is remorseful of their sin. You know what remorse is? I'm so sorry I did this to you, Rob. I feel so bad. You know what regret is? I'm so sorry I did this to myself as I did it to Rob. But you know what repentance is? God, against you and you alone have I sinned. That brings the proper revival into perspective. The culture of today are remorseful over their sin. They are sorry that they have got found out and caught out. Nowadays, when we get caught out about the wrong, we feel ashamed and we feel sorry, but we don't repent. And so what I've noticed then, as I'm reading in Scripture, when that repentance comes, man, it's incredible what God does. Psalms 85 verse 7, just that next verse. Show us your steadfast love. O Lord, grant us your salvation. I don't have a right to salvation. Grant it to me. Paul, for me, is the most beautiful picture of somebody that repented. Persecuted the church, murdered people, made sure that they got killed, and then his life just flipped. The once foolish way for Paul became the only way as he repented. And I'm trusting God to bring repentance back to his body. Repentance. Then the other thing that I see, first of all, there's the repentance and there's a hunger after God, there's repentance. The third thing is the restoration of the kingdom. Peter talks to them about being restored, in that God's wanting to restore the kingdom to Israel. Jesus personifies the message of the cross and its power. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, we know it's the power of God. But this is the thing. When revival in times of refreshing strike, we start thinking differently about the kingdom and the kingdom way of living. A delay in receiving the kingdom, because if you receive God, if you do the repentance, you receive. A delay in repentance, a delay in receiving the kingdom, means there's a delay in receiving the promises. But there's just the kingdom understanding, how we do things. For now, at best, sometimes we share, we give. But if you read the book of Acts, kingdom living, people just shared everything. Some guy sold everything. I don't know how it works, but I haven't experienced it. I know it's in Scripture. I've seen here and there people blessing other people. I understand that. But what I'm talking about, a true time of refreshing, like in Scripture, selling everything and giving away. Scripture says, nobody had a need. I still can't figure that out. A time of refreshing that's coming. It just happens naturally. People share. And have you noticed guys that just get saved? They always share, you know. They like when they give. They're just so happy to be in church. They want to be part of it, you know. And they just give things away. It just comes naturally. And have you ever seen all these guys that get saved? When they repent, then we feel so embarrassed. Oh no, we shouldn't have said that. Oh no. You know, these guys, they cry, snot running down their noses. Oh, I stole the money. I stole my mom's money. And, Meryl, I just want to say, it was me that stole that, you know. And we like, not in front of everybody, but the repentance just comes. The kingdom way of thinking just comes just naturally. The fourth one, there's a manifestation of miracles. Times of refreshing are characterized by miracles, and it draws attention to the gospel. Miracles that draws attention to people's sorcery. Peter and Paul said it to quite a few guys in Acts. Perish with your money, but the gift of God you can't buy. The seven sons of Sceva, Acts chapter 7, thinking they could do an exorcism. The demon spoke back, Paul, we know, but who are you? They had to run. We're going to go in times now, we're going to get back to the man in the closet. We're going to go back to those times. I call it the off-the-grid Christian. What did Jesus say? When you give, do not let your right hand know what your left hand does. When you pray, go to your Father in the secret place. When you fast, don't let people know that you fast. Smile. Don't tell them you're hungry. It's the off-the-grid guy, you know. But there's a place of secrecy where the miracles manifest. We're going to that place. And so the miracles are going to draw attention to God. In Worcester, there was a doctor, Dr. Herma Ichu. This patient dies on their table, dead for 50 minutes. No heartbeat. After 20 minutes, oxygen is cut off. Your brain dead. After that, nobody can help you. She's standing there with Hindus and Buddhists. And then God tells her, pray in tongues. Touch this lady's legs and pray in tongues. Touches her legs, pray in tongues. She comes back to life after being 50 minutes dead. 2 weeks later, that same lady walks into a surgery. Hello, doctor, how are you? Just go check it out on the show for TV. After that, we had a discussion on what miracles should we put on the internet? What miracles should we put on Facebook? Or should we just rather leave it? Have you ever noticed Jesus when he performed miracles? Don't tell anybody. Just go show yourself to the priest. There's something about being off the grid. Because I tell you, Facebook, it will kill any revival. People will take photos of people being, you know, it's just funny how the media is going to mess this thing up. But not this time. This time we're going to be wise about it. God's going to do His miracles, and we're going to share it with a few people. The time will come when we will testify, but it's not going to be sorcery anymore. It's going to be godly beauty. Man. Godly piety leads to power. We need to demonstrate the gospel. It comes with holiness. I'm reading up on all these guys, and I'm beginning to understand how God moves it in. I mean, one of the alarming things for me is God Spurgeon smoked cigars. I never knew it. It's a historical fact. Is he going to be judged by God for it? Sure enough, it's God's and his beef. That's it. Because holiness brings power. There's some stuff that I do that God knows about. He's going to talk to me about it. Grace doesn't free me from it. Grace bounds me to the promise that he'll save the way he does, not the way I think and interpret what I think. That's the way grace operates. But with that grace comes that power and understanding that he's the Christ, sitting on the throne, talking about his kingdom to servants, needing to understand that the manifestations of the power of the sons of God comes from him. He imparts it. The rest is sorcery if he doesn't do it. Or you're like Samson. You're just negligent with your gift. You have a Delilah here and a Delilah there, and then you touch unclean animals and then you kill people with it. chaos in the church of the living Christ. And then at the same time, God just pours out his revival that's just so beautiful. And I know he's going to do it. I'm sensing it. I'm excited about it. And then the last one, he's preaching the right message. Witness. The witness of the message of the cross spoke of death and of self-denial. Can you remember the first day when you just had that connection with Christ and you got saved? It just comes so naturally to tell other people, isn't it? And I'm a Christian and I can remember telling my dad, Dad, so tonight time, I met God. My dad's response was, please don't make a fool of Christ. If you do this thing, you do it. Dad wasn't safe. I said, yes, Dad. I hear what you're saying. And you know, I'm still smoking. And then I'm smoking because I can smell. Then we would buy one or two cigarettes and then would run around to Elmer and then we would sit to him. Then one day I'm smoking and Christ just walks into the room and he says, so you want to preach the gospel with this? All that I'm saying is, if you're wanting to preach the gospel, callers, how are you going to convince? I walked over to Alma and said, my love, this is what God's saying. The four cigarettes, Peter Stuyvesant's that we had, we broke into pieces and we threw it away, never to touch it again. But that confidence that came with it, that you knew Christ and you just had to tell somebody about it. When times of refreshing come, we're just going to tell people, look here, this is what God did. If you read Acts chapter, maybe I should read this to you. Acts chapter 28, verse 30 to 31. I just want to drop this with you. Paul is in jail. Paul is in jail. He's on his way to Rome. Paul lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him. Watch this. Proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness, watch this, without hindrance. Even though Paul was in jail, even though Paul was in difficult circumstances, he found a way to preach the gospel. Philippians says, verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, the fact that I am in jail, has already served to advance the gospel. When times of refreshing come, preaching the gospel comes naturally anywhere, everywhere. It just happens. I don't have a reference for it, but Stephen preached the gospel while he was being stoned. It's just preaching the gospel. But it just happens when the times of refreshing is there. But the message is the message of the cross, is the message that I can't help myself. I'm helpless, I'm hopeless. Nothing can save me except this message. Helpless, hopeless. You know that feeling when we've tried everything and you're like, God, I've tried everything, and then God says, okay, now I can help you. Because the cross can only save those who's helpless and hopeless. The cross cannot save the Richard Dawkins of this world because he's too full of his intellect and full of himself until he comes to a place of emptiness. Oh man, Nebuchadnezzar. God says to him in a dream, I'm going to touch you. You know what's going to happen when I touch you? You're going to go crazy, cuckoos. He goes crazy cuckoos. He turns into an animal. He eats grass. His fingernails grow long. After 7 years, God says, after 7 years, you're going to be in your right mind again. I call it a moment of saving sanity. God just flips him. He becomes king again. Incredible when there is revival. It's incredible when times of refreshing comes. Things change, but there's just this emptiness. So, Carlos, what must we do? Martin Lloyd-Jones gives for me the best, I've read on it, just explanation. Martin Lloyd-Jones says that all the priests in the Old Testament, they had to bring every gift to the altar. But he says this, and I, the fire wasn't lit by the priests. The fire to lit the meat actually came from God. So just imagine if Anemi brought a sheep and no fire came down. Everybody would have looked at you. Where's the fire, bro? Where is it? You're the priest of Israel. There's this massive queue of sheep bleating. Meh, meh. Everybody's waiting, but there's no fire. Scary stuff. God continued to rain down his fire. Can you imagine all the blood? Imagine 1 million dads coming with their sheep, all their blood. Getting rid of their blood. Have you ever thought of it? It was hard work doing worship. Back in those days, I mean, slaughter the sheep, the fat goes there, the entrails go there, this meat goes into the pot, this is, clean it up, next guy. Oh man, I don't know if I could have dealt with all that ketchup. I'm glad I'm in this new dispensation where I can raise my hands and give my offering. Sweet smelling aroma from a spirit. But the sweet smelling, no. Cutting sheep into pieces, it wouldn't have gone well with me. But God knows why I was born now. But the fire came down. What we need to do, we need to build the altars at our works. We need to build the altars in our families. And we got to trust God to bring the fire down, because He will. In due season, He will. It's going to happen. And we do it in that secret place. And if the miracles come, we just smile. We go back to God and say, God, that was a good one. You're good. You're great. God, do you want me to testify about it, or should it just be between me, you, and that person? And then God says, just between us. And that's it. We don't go talking about it. You know, nowadays you can buy blessed sand, blessed oil, touch this garment and life will change. Touch this book. Blessed dirt. Have you heard of blessed dirt? I don't know. All these weird stuff, wanting to proclaim the gospel, and so many people traveling to places. And meanwhile, Christ is right here, wanting to release, and I'm not knocking any pilgrimage. All that I'm saying is, there's a way that Christ is wanting to connect with us right here. He's wanting to do it. Bring us to a place of repentance. And just that place of a hunger after Him. Revive us, oh God. Well, can you just play some background music? And that is why I've said to a lot of people, I want to take the pressure off everyone in this congregation to make this thing work. We must bring and we must. Oh. For now, we have a hunger after God. Ian and Margo has to leave because of an appointment, so they're not offended when they're walking now. Hey? I didn't say anything wrong, I hope. Joke. You understand what I'm saying? I want to take that pressure off us. I want us to connect with Christ, and I want us to trust God to revive us. Build your altars. We're going to talk about how do I build my altar at work, how do I build my altar in my family so that God can come down. He's going to do it. It's going to be a time of refreshing. It's going to be a time of refreshing. I see a generation of people that's going to be able to do it. They're willing to listen to us. I just know that there's a lot of kids, and I'm sensing it again. I can't explain it. I just feel it. We need to get to the schools. We need to get to the universities, because they are ready to listen to us. They're ready. I've seen it. I've heard it. The few that I've spoken to, that has them, they've got brand new jobs. They're willing to listen to us. We build the altars there. God comes down and He changes. But what I'm sharing with you now is not an evangelism strategy. I'm not sharing a strategy now. All that I'm talking about is just worshiping Christ because of a hunger within our hearts. And as He comes down, we just witness. We witness about God's goodness. It's supposed to be a lifestyle. It's not supposed to be a cause. This is what Christ has done for me. And we do it in secret. So lots of things are going to change practically, but I don't want you to worry or be scared. We just follow the Lord's hand of grace upon us. And please, if you come here on a Sunday and you think, oh, look at it, let it go, let it go. Come worship Christ here. Tell people, I know of a place where God descends and just touches His people. Come with me. That's all. It's not a cause. It's not, oh, we must. Just be. The other time when I preached on Easter Sunday, I just told the guys that, guys, we're not human doings. We're human beings. We're trying to do things to fix things and it's hurting us. Spend time with Christ. Spend time with Him. In His presence, here in your presence, all things are done. Wonderful, mighty, full, purposeful Counselor. Father, this morning, revive us. God, we consecrate Empower 21 to You. We consecrate that week when we are going to do outreaches and that weekend. We bring School of Worship to You and we consecrate it unto You. We bring the camp at Otford in August unto You. And we pray as You revive us that Your fire will descend. God, we're not into any style of doing something. We just want You. Your miracles. But Your miracles will draw us to the cross. It will draw us closer to You. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have some coffee. Just spend some time with God. If you need prayer, come. If you just want to sit there and just talk with Him, just do that. Thank you.